of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston, from New York to LA, there's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say,
and good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is KELB 100.5 FM. And ladies and gentlemen, our studios are located here at Heritage Square, 113 Winsburg Street in Lake Charles, Louisiana. And we have an affiliated station, ladies and gentlemen, KEBL 105.5 FM. And they're located at Parkview Baptist Church, 1623 Picard Road in Sulphur, Louisiana. And you can always go to KELBRadio.com, ladies and gentlemen. And the views and or opinions expressed or implied on this station are not necessarily those of the owner, management, or employees of KELB 100.5 or its affiliated station, KEBL 105.5. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to turn you over to Brother Nathan Curtis in Church and State. Brother Nathan, you're now on the air, sir.
Thank you, Brother Ray, and we want to say that we have a special guest in the studio with us who's been here on, I guess I could say now, a number of occasions. We're kind of tangled up with our headphones here. Now, we're getting that straightened out. Okay, our special guest is Brother Dan Denson. He's a retired professor from McNeese, and also he taught at LSU. What were the courses you taught at McNeese?
Well, I'm a health educator, and I taught health classes, and had specific subject areas. Such, I taught a drug class, I taught a human disease class. I also taught a healthcare systems class to graduate students where we learned a little bit about how the American healthcare system works, and it's a very complex system. And I enjoy teaching. Still feel like a teacher, and I still feel like I'm a professional health educator. So I haven't quite gotten completely out of the picture, although I've been retired for 3 years.
Well, maybe you can help educate some of our listeners this morning, if you, with that opportunity. What would you say about achieving good health, maintaining good health, with enjoyment of life and, let's say, longevity in mind?
Yeah, I would say that strongest thing you have going for you is your genetic endowment. You're predisposed to a lot of different disorders, most of which have to do with the failure of the immune system as we age. It has been said that we don't die of old age, we die of disease process. On the other hand, if there is any such thing as death due to old age, it's probably some immune disorder, such as cancer, for example, which is an immune disorder when you come right down to it. So, given that, it's imperative that we protect the integrity of the immune system. And again, like I say, some people are born with that good immune response. And we're learning a little bit more about that kind of thing. We know how to activate the immune system to actually fight disease. We know a little bit more about how the immune system works. It's pretty complex. I always had a difficult time with getting into detail on immune response with students, especially undergraduates. But in the end, it's all about protecting our immune system, which is related to wellness, good lifestyle, avoiding behaviors that tend to destroy our immune system, like tobacco and alcohol.
Yes. By the way, check me out on this. It's my impression that the immune system, one of its main jobs in the body, and it operates throughout the body, is to recognize anything foreign that's not supposed to be there to the body and to go after it and attack it and get
Absolutely.
Rid of it.
Absolutely.
And that also happens to apply to implants, heart, kidney, whatever.
Right.
We have a pastor in town, Brother Jack Tillery, who in 2008 had a double transplant, both a heart and a kidney. Mm-hmm. Now, his body, assuming it's with the immune system, again, attempting to defend his body, immediately said, this heart doesn't belong here, this kidney doesn't belong here. And so the immune system then begins to attack those added components, and then you have to take anti-immune suppressants.
Which increases your risk of a lot of other problems.
Right.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
He's been fighting that battle now for, let's say, 8 years.
Yeah. And the key, I think, eventually to overcoming things like cancer and failures of the immune system is to develop not just drugs per se or nutritional regimens, but a whole array of protocols to enhance immune response.
Now, I understand that we're responding to many of our health needs by manufacturing a lot of things, synthetic drugs. We try to make them compatible with the human system, but that doesn't always work, does it?
No, as always, toxicity associated with just about any drug, even over-the-counter drugs, as you well know. Drugs are not necessarily the answer. It's the convenient thing to do, to take
mm-hmm.
a pill. And so, as long as we feel like that the pill is going to solve our problem, and we're conditioned to believe that actually at a very young age. When you stop and think about it, we teach kids that these little gummy vitamins and sweet tasting medications and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And don't get me wrong, it beats trying to shove it down their throat if they're not going to take it. But by the same token, we're doing something of conditioning them early at an early age.
I assume you're familiar with the name Hippocrates.
Yes. Hippocrates.
Hippocrates.
Do no harm.
Okay. And that's the first rule supposed to be to the. And in many cases, physicians, in their effort to do no harm, actually do harm.
Yeah.
In our effort to do good.
I have a friend that's had several cardiovascular issues, and he's had two bypasses, by the way. And he was just telling me that his two of his stents that he has in the bypass arteries are occluded and can't do anything about it, but he's got two of them that are working pretty good. So his best chance of survival is to develop what they call collateral circulation, which you can do to bypass some of the blockage.
And the body will do that on its own.
Yes,
won't it?
Exercise facilitates it. And they're trying to perfect drugs. As a matter of fact, he was sharing with me that they have a drug that promotes this collateral circulation along with exercise and proper nutrition.
Mm-hmm.
But he said one of the side effects is heart attacks.
Oh.
So that's what he's trying to avoid. Mm-hmm. So he is not going to do that until such time as exercise and nutrition doesn't work for him, and he's going to try something else.
Could we say that many times people are trying to find a simple, quick fix, a shortcut, and that they may be doing harm to themselves by trying to rely too much on drugs and not enough on common sense things like adequate rest, adequate exercise, good nutrition?
Your thoughts on all of that? Precisely. I mean, as I said, we become conditioned, and it doesn't get any easier when we get older. We become more dependent on chemicals to help us get through some of the rough spots, and we become, more or less dependent on what we call maintenance drugs, drugs to control blood pressure, drugs to control diabetes. And don't get me wrong, these drugs have done much to extend life and promote quality of life. I'd be the last one to talk about drugs. People complain a lot about the cost of drugs, but the United States has a very rigorous system of approving drugs. And so it costs several million dollars to get a major drug approved over 6 to 10 year period. And so when you've got this much invested in a drug, it's very difficult to offer it at a competitive price.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not defending the FDA. I'm simply saying that because of the rigor of our system and what it takes to get a drug approved, it's no wonder that the drug's prices are very high. The healthcare system is not perfect, but it beats anything else, or at least it did. I'm not real sure that we have the perfect healthcare system in this country anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But all you have to do is go to a major medical center anywhere in the United States and see all the foreign people who come here for treatment. And it's very convincing to see that. You hear a lot about the shortcomings of our healthcare system, but by the same token, you see people who can afford to do so, they come to the American healthcare system.
Canadians come down here.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, if you go to MD Anderson, you see just as many foreigners, nationals. And I've talked to some of them. Unfortunately, I've had to spend some time at MD Anderson, but with people who had cancer, and talk to a lot of people who come from foreign countries who can speak the language, and there's no question about where their priorities are.
Well, the Saudis were known, Saudi Arabians, they're wealthy long ago for coming to the United
mm-hmm.
States to seek
mm-hmm.
medical treatment.
And now, South Americans who can afford it come here.
Can I say that you are a young man in your 60s?
You can say that, but I am 70.
Oh, well, I thought you were maybe your mid-60s.
I'm 70, and about halfway to 71.
I say that because I passed that, I left that behind a long time ago. I tell people sometimes I'm getting so old and forgetful, I can't remember whether I'm 88 or 98.
Mm-hmm. Well, but you know the issues that we're talking about here with the Hillary campaign and the Trump campaign have a lot to do with national security, have a lot to do with the economy. But the other issue is the health care.
Mm-hmm.
And there is no question that Hillary Clinton is convincingly behind a single-payer system, in other words, government health care.
Mm-hmm.
And everywhere that's been done, it's been, it's been a mess. It's just increasing the bureaucracy. There's enough bureaucracy right now in health care. We have, to some extent, socialized medicine. Medicare and Medicaid are social, medical programs. And anybody's having to go through all those channels to get health care know that there is at best too much bureaucracy.
And what was it the president famously said? You can keep your doctor, you can keep your health care.
Sure.
And neither of those
didn't work that way. And they knew it when they said it. That's the thing. It's a mess. I've done several presentations on Obamacare, and it boils down to who's going to pay for it. I mean, we will go totally bankrupt in less than 20 years in an American healthcare system if we don't do something soon. Everything that they promised the big health care companies and the insurance companies just simply is not going to happen. The thing that they promised was that we're going to make it a requirement that everybody has to be insured, and this is going to give you more clientele, it's going to put more money in your pockets, and we're going to assist in paying for people who can't afford it, and that simply has not happened.
Well, I'm old enough to remember the days when you had a country doctor, and he traveled from house to house with the police and a few medals and probably a hypodermic needle, and they were able to take care of the ordinary things that happened, and if it was extraordinary, you went to a hospital. And we had pretty good hospitals back then. I had a sister who went into nursing training. That would have been probably in the late 30s because she graduated from high school. Well, let's see, actually in the 40s. I graduated from high school in 45. She had graduated roughly 8 years before me, but she went into medical training and hospital training, was, I think, one of the outstanding students in her nursing class, stayed in that field a long time. But healthcare has gotten much, much more complicated and much more expensive. I remember in the early 50s, I went to the little town of Jennings. I had fell into a bayou and got pneumonia or something like it. Mm. Had to go to a local hospital for a couple of days. And would you want to guess what my room rate was?
No.
I would think it was maybe $30
yeah.
a day.
It's $3,000 now.
And you could buy healthcare plans were not available at all to the general public. They were only available if you went work for a big corporation.
Exactly. Right.
My dad was, our family was favored because he was with Standard Oil, and they had the Stanicola Medical Plan. They had their own clinic downtown where they had half a dozen doctors with different specialties, and we could go and choose any one of them, so we were, I guess we had a great advantage over the average person. But when I went to the little town of Jennings, there was a little hospital there owned by a doctor, by a couple of our father and son team. And it was eventually taken over by the American Legion. It's in American Legion Hospital now. But again, medicine was, I guess, much more primitive. I went to the doctor a few times, but usually it didn't cost that much. I could pay for it. And we didn't actually need the expensive health care plans we have today. Anyway, we've come a long way in some respect, but some things are not as good as they used to be.
It's all about access and, you know, the concept of universal access to health care is just not possible. The system is designed for an orderly process. Referrals are necessary to see specialists in most health care systems, and you have to play by the rules to get the optimal health care.
Mm-hmm.
And we have ways to shortcut some of those rules, and we're all guilty of doing that from time to time, I suppose. But probably the biggest abuse is the emergency room abuse, where a lot of people go to the emergency room for non-critical issues, and emergency rooms are somewhat obligated to at least stabilize the patients. But that cost, I went to a emergency room one time to have a fish hook removed from my heel. I believe it was my heel. I've had two or three emergency room experiences with fish hooks. But anyway, the guy showed me how to take that fish hook out. He popped it out with a string. That's the way to do it. But anyway, when I got my bill, it was $400. And he had told me that. He had told me that, he said, I have a kit that I can open and use the instruments. It's a sterile kit to take that fish hook out, or I can pop it out with a string. He said, it doesn't matter to me which one you want. I said, well, yeah, let's do the string thing. So when I got my bill for $400, I saw him later on. I said, Doc, how do you come up with $400 to pop a fish hook out with a string? He said, well, you're paying for people who don't pay because you have health insurance.
And story I learned from someone at the Lake Charles Memorial. This has been several years back. There was a person here illegally riding in a truck, I believe, involved in an accident. He had a very severe injury and I think had to have an amputation. They took him in, and of course emergency rooms, they took him in to treat him, but they kept him. He was hospitalized for months. It kept costing the hospital all this time, and we were paying for it. They finally managed to transfer him to a hospital in Texas. So there are things like that going on in our system. So our illegal immigration system is part of the problem. Mm-hmm. It's not the whole problem.
Mm-hmm. The aging population is part of the problem. We have more people with chronic illnesses these days.
And I guess we can be thankful that we do have an aging population, that people are able to survive much longer. The average longevity now has advanced well into the 70s or even to the 80s.
80s for women, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Women outlive men on the average of 4 to 5 years.
Mm-hmm. Someday we're going to have to deal with that. That will be coming up in this election. A number of the Republican candidates, there's only one now, Republican candidate, but pretty much all of them said, I will eliminate Obamacare. But, of course, if they do that, they have to replace it with something else. And the challenge is, what will they replace it with and how will it be financed? Now, I remember when private health care plans took care of just about all of that. You could buy personally, kind of like off the shelf from a local agent, a health care plan. Those began to be marketed in the early 50s. They were not available before then. Metropolitan Life, Prudential, John Hancock, and others entered that field, and I sold a lot of health insurance back in those days when I first got into the insurance business. But an average premium probably wouldn't be over $30 a month for a family. But the doctor's charges, the amount allowed for a doctor's visit in a hospital, I think was in some of the plans $3 a day. Surgery up to $600. But that's when those things cost a lot less. And we've just escalated from there. But there's an election coming up. Well, that's looming. I think we're about, is it 73 days away?
Not
far. I think that's what I heard this morning.
Yeah.
We're in a countdown. We don't have much time to get ready. And I think we need to know as much as we can about the, it's more than two candidates, but mainly two, and I think there's some libertarians running, a couple of ex-governors. I heard something about this morning, and it was claimed that they'll take people away from each side about equally. I don't know.
That's what I think. Yeah, mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of Democrats who cannot vote for Hillary Clinton, and they're not going to vote for Donald Trump. So, yes, they're going to seek a third party. I hope the Republicans have learned their lesson with Romney about staying home and not voting or voting for third party candidates that help elect Democrats. I'm somewhat enthused about the fact that it could very well be, as you say, it'd be at best both parties, but I think at best it would be more of an issue for Democrats to look at third party,
mm-hmm.
knowing what they know about Hillary Clinton.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's turning more and more people off. Well, it's time for us to take a break. We're going to hear a word from Phyllis Schlafly. She will have something interesting, and always she touches on very important issues. Stay tuned while we listen to Phyllis Schlafly, and we'll be right back after Phyllis.
This is the Phyllis Schlafly Report, a daily broadcast from Eagle Forum dedicated to keeping you informed and helping win the battle against forces that would deny freedom of religion, redefine the family, and mock traditional values. Now, here's the founder of Eagle Forum, Phyllis Schlafly.
In June, Eagle Forum hosted our annual Collegian Summit, where college students come from all over the country to learn how to become the future leaders of the conservative movement. They also learn some of the processes of government and how conservative leaders have outmaneuvered the liberals in Washington. Representative Jim Bridenstine of Oklahoma spoke about how he and several other conservatives in the House fought to defund one of President Obama's unconstitutional executive orders that violated religious freedom. He told how the Democrats repeatedly tried to force Republicans to fund the president's unconstitutional order through poison pill legislation. When the GOP establishment refused to stop the liberals, Representative Bridenstine and other conservatives had to find another way to protect religious liberty. They chose to kill the bills the Democrats tainted rather than to allow the liberals in both parties to get away with their shenanigans. Later, Senator James Langford, also of Oklahoma, talked about how the Senate forces debate to slow down the process. He explained how the rules sometimes work against good bills. As an example, he mentioned the Keystone Pipeline bill, which was shut down by the Democrat majority in the Senate. Senator Langford also mentioned some of the benefits of the Senate rules. He discussed how the Senate's requirement for three-fifths majorities protects the minority party from being bulldozed by a simple majority. He also warned of the dangers of omnibus bills and how they flim-flam taxpayers before they can even know what the bill says. After Eagle Forum Collegiate Summit, our young conservatives left with a better understanding of how Congress really works.
This has been the Phyllis Schlafly Report from Eagle Forum. Students, next time you're online, check out eagleforum.org and discover that there are other students like you who don't bow to the politically correct left-wing agenda on their campus. Hear about rallies, resources, and the annual Eagle Forum Collegians Summit in Washington. Log on to eagleforum.org. Then join us again next time for the Phyllis Schlafly Report.
And good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is KELB 100.5 FM, along with our affiliated station, KEBL 105.5 FM. And ladies and gentlemen, you can always go to KELBradio.com. And the views and or opinions expressed or implied on this station are not necessarily those of the owner, management, or employees of KELB 100.5 or its affiliated station, KEBL 105.5. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to return you back to Brother Nathan Curtis in Church of State. Brother Nathan, you're now on the air.
Thank you, Brother Ray. Ray Cook, still at the controls this morning, and in the studio, Brother Dan Denson. retired professor of health education, McNeese, is that right?
That's correct.
And did you teach the same subjects at LSU?
I did. actually, McNeese had more course offerings in health education than LSU had at the time, and I think they still do, to be honest with you.
I want to promote a friend of mine a little bit. I think I had a book of her, yes, From Surviving to Thriving in Health and Weight Loss by Laverne S. Dupre, B.S., I guess that's Bachelor of Science, M.S., Master of Science, and N.D., I guess that indicates a degree in nutrition, whatever. But she told us that her mother had been sent home to die many years ago, I think from M.D. Anderson Hospital, and not expected to live, but maybe a few months. She lived several years under Laverne's good care. She began to give her the best in nutrition, including a lot of vegetable and fruit juices on a very regular, day, constant basis. And I think she eventually died. I think it was of what was it you were telling us about earlier? The
immune
problem. Immune system had failed somehow. But her book is available, From Surviving to Thriving. I think it's $10. We don't make any money whatsoever on it, and it's a lower price than you can get elsewhere. We're glad to handle them. And I think Laverne Dupre, several others who knew about nutrition, who gave me some very good advice that I followed. I also got a referral to a special nutrition doctor in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And I believe all of this had a lot to do with my recovering and from and overcoming lung cancer in a matter of, I would say, 6 to 8 months. Mm-hmm. I don't appear to have any symptoms at all of that lung cancer anymore. And I was told I would have a lot of, with the doctor's treatment, I would have a lot of extreme fatigue followed by a lot of diarrhea, and I'd probably be laying in a bed somewhere by now. But I thank God for that, because we decided to rely on the great physician, good information, and the prayers of friends.
You know, one of the more viable degree programs that we had at McNeese, we had a master's in nutrition and wellness that was offered in collaboration with the nutrition faculty and the health and human performance faculty. And we had some top-notch students. I'm sure we continue to have that in that program. These were mostly women who were doing a degree in dietetics, and they were doing their clinicals.
Mm-hmm.
And they were coming and taking our classes at night. And I was fortunate to work with a lot of those students on independent research as well as teaching the course in healthcare systems, which was essential. To anybody getting into the healthcare business at any level needs to understand what happens in the healthcare system, and you know, it's an advanced course. It's not really for undergraduates, because it's very difficult for an undergraduate to relate to what happens in healthcare from a systems approach.
Mm-hmm.
And first of all, they don't really care. It's they've never really been sick. They've never had to deal with illness. And I'm not speaking for all of them, but as a rule, I taught a which I think is a, you know, absolutely essential course in consumer health, how to make good consumer decisions relating to healthcare. And this was a sophomore course at LSU, and I had a very difficult time motivating students to learn anything about this, because as a majority were 18, 19, 20 year olds. As I said, women are a little bit more approachable in understanding the healthcare system because of pregnancy and childbirth. And the simple fact that they see more health care providers than men do over a lifetime. Men in that age bracket, unless they're going into some aspect of health care, they're not very interested. Let me put it this way. It's very difficult for them to relate to that.
And a young, healthy person says, who, me, worry?
Yeah,
and
right.
They don't worry.
Yeah, but getting back to the nutrition part, for about a probably a 20 or 30 year period, there was very little nutritional concepts built into the degree plan of a physician or any person who provided primary care or even secondary care.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, physicians became tuned in or honed in on intervention and not necessarily on wellness and prevention. So, I mean, it's the nature of the beast. You go to a physician, you don't want to hear him telling you how to stop smoking or how to lose weight. Most people don't.
Mm-hmm.
What they want to hear is, you know, what pill can I take and you know, deal with this.
So the doctors have become very dependent on pills, too.
Sure, certainly.
So far as prescriptions.
Certainly. They know that a patient is interested in dealing with this issue on a chemical basis and hopefully getting some sort of medication that's going to take care of the problem. And so that's a human issue.
Are you familiar with probiotics?
Yes.
Now, those have been advocated to me by several people, and I'm taking a lot of probiotics.
Mm-hmm.
Probiotics means pro-life, just as antibiotics are anti-life, actually, to kill unwanted life in
right.
the body. But many times that antibiotic also may affect your normal system adversely.
Probiotics make sense because of the fact that the majority of your immune system is actually a function of your digestive system, namely the small intestine and to a lesser extent the colon.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, to abuse those systems is to limit the amount of immune response you have. And there for a long time, we didn't quite understand the HIV infection and how it went about attacking immune cells, namely T cells. And we begin to realize that most of this initiates in the small intestine.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's very important to refrain from behaviors that compromise the digestive process.
And it's in the small intestine as much as in the stomach that the food is digested,
sure,
isn't it?
Sure, digesting the food. But some of these cells that we depend upon for immune response are actually in the small intestine, and they're proliferated in the small intestine.
Mm-hmm.
And as we learn more about what happens in the small intestine, and it's with regard to immunity, we become a little bit more proficient in dealing with. There's two major immune problems. One is the all attack by the immune system to friendly tissue. They do not, the immune system does not recognize self.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be the case in multiple sclerosis. And most arthritic conditions are, in fact, what we call autoimmune problems. And then the other one is similar to that. I'm trying to remember the differentiation. I'll come back to it.
Okay. Well, I know we need to talk about the election, but I thank you for your expertise in the health area, and maybe we need to have you to speak to that from time to time.
Yeah, I just thought of the other issue, immune suppression.
Mm-hmm.
Autoimmunity, you still have the immune system, but it's not acting right. It,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't recognize self, and it tends to turn against you, and there are several things that can trigger that, but immune suppression is a classic example is AIDS, HIV,
mm-hmm.
where the immune system is simply not proficient or it's not sufficient to handle exposure to disease-causing agents.
Mm-hmm.
So you end up with all these immune disorders
mm-hmm.
in both cases. And we're learning a lot more about autoimmunity and the role of the immune system in recognizing self. But again, you know, you're talking about most of your arthritic problems, a majority of your cancers, multiple sclerosis, and several even diabetic conditions to some extent is the result of autoimmunity, where the immune system actually attacks the pancreas. This is particularly true in type 1 diabetes, where the pancreas is under attack by the immune system. So that's autoimmunity, and we probably know more about immune suppression because of the AIDS epidemic. So we know what happens when the immune system is simply not there.
Mm-hmm.
We're still not quite sure what turns the immune system against us.
I like to recall from time to time a Bible verse that says, "Behold, how fearfully and wonderfully we're made." And regardless of all of this, we still have to conclude that's still true. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Consider that the Bible, the body, runs itself without any actual input from our thinking. It's automatic. It's set up to do these things. Even our brains, we don't have to be a genius to know that our brains are marvelous and can do so many things. And also in the brain, there are receptors that are monitoring what's going on throughout the body and then give instructions as to what to do. Is that more or less true?
That is absolutely true.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely true. And we're just starting to learn a little bit more about the relationship between the brain and certainly in behavior. We don't know a heck of a lot about that, but we are beginning to understand a little bit more about how the brain relates to organ function.
Mm-hmm.
It's the master computer, and it controls everything from how much saliva you produce to how your adrenal glands function.
Right.
And that is it's difficult to understand, much less describe.
And how you respond to certain stimuli.
Exactly.
Like Pavlov's experiments with dogs.
And stress. Yes.
I don't suppose I can get a diploma from at the end of our conversation today, but I'm learning.
As soon as you pay your tuition.
Well, let's get to politics, back to politics a bit. You were at the Republican Women's Luncheon the other day.
Yeah.
You had a speaker, and you wanted to share some of that with us.
Yes. Dr. Bustani, who has been in the U.S. Congress for, I think he's on his second term, and has decided to run for the U.S. Senate as a senator from Louisiana, was a guest, and he did a very good job of explaining some of the issues that are confronting our U.S. Congress, not to mention the presidential race. He said a couple of interesting things, I thought. He was asked about the chances of holding the Senate and the House of Representatives with the Republican majority. He wasn't very optimistic about it. He was pretty optimistic about the House of Representatives. He was very concerned about the Senate, and he related a couple of issues that are coming up, or elections that are coming up, and where Senate Republicans are being challenged by Democrats. And that was one of the reasons why he said he decided to run for the Senate, to bring that conservative message to the Senate. But he did a really good job of explaining not only the problems that we're facing in this country, but how he has attempted to address it and what he plans to do as a senator. He did a good job. You could tell that he was an experienced congressional member,
mm-hmm.
which I thought was refreshing.
But one of the big concerns about the upcoming presidential election is it's really as much about the Supreme Court as it is about who's
yes.
going to be president.
Yes.
Because this Supreme Court that we've had recently came up with this horrible ruling on same-sex marriage.
Yes.
Against all our traditions, against all of our customs, against our religion. They just trashed that and more or less said it doesn't matter. against the wisdom of the ages and the wisdom of God. God knew what he was doing when he made them male and female. And I've never had any problem to knowing what gender I am, and I think that's true of most people, both male and female. Now, they want to come up with several divisions. Now, transgender, and you can be both, but more of one than the other, and they want to, this president has wanted to set up special protections for transgender. What's your thought on that kind of a ruling?
Well, my wife and I discuss this from time to time, and I think we come to the same conclusion. It's a much ado about not much. I mean, I think most people would be happy to allow or to remain neutral on that issue and do what you got to do when you need to do it. That's fine. Just don't infringe on my beliefs and my traditions. I mean, this issue of transgender bathrooms is a perfect example. This is a non-issue, to be honest with you. If you identify with the opposite sex and you're not comfortable with your sexuality and you prefer to be the opposite sex, then do what you have to do that. But let's don't make laws about how we deal with that and what kind of bathrooms we go to. This is not a presidential issue, for crying out loud. You know, at best, it's a community or organizational issue, perhaps, but it's not a nation issue.
But the Democrats, and particularly Hillary, they have made this a national issue.
That's right. It's a block vote.
Because at the Democrat convention, now I've watched both conventions, I listened to as much of the Republican convention as I could, and as too much of the Democrat convention as I could stand. And it was evident that one of the main themes of the Democrat convention was LGBT.
Yeah.
And Hillary has said that she will fully support LGBT.
Well, you know, speaking of Hillary, Ann Coulter was on one of the Fox shows last night or night before last. I think I was watching a replay. But she made an interesting comment. Nathan Hale once said, "I regret that I have but one life to lose for my country." Ann Coulter says that Hillary says, "I regret that I have but one country to give to my life." And of course, she's relating to some of the things you know, that have to do with her emails and how she has taken money from governments that promote terrorism and some of the problems that you just mentioned.
Is that more or less saying that the U.S. government is here for her amusement, enjoyment, and
pretty much
remuneration?
Pretty much to keep her elected.
Keep the coffers full at the Clinton Foundation.
Yeah. In other words, the end justifies the mean. They do whatever they have to do to get elected and to keep their coffers full, and with a total disregard of the will of the people.
And you tell lies to people knowing you're doing it because you want their vote. That's
yes.
going on.
Yes. And they know exactly where the vote is. They know how different groups will vote as a block. And doesn't matter what their philosophies or their values are, they're voters.
And it's, I've come to the conclusion that President Obama has had plans for this country, long-range plans, that he began working on very early in his presidency, things that would affect us long after his presidency. He said he would make fundamental changes, and so many of the moves he's made has been to ensure that those changes would take place during his presidency, and because of his bringing in mass numbers of illegal immigrants here, flouting the laws, disregarding the immigration laws, telling the Border Patrol pen to stand down, that he can bring people in who will eventually become citizens and all will become Democrats. because of the largesse of the United States.
And appointing two liberal activists to the Supreme Court. And
yes.
With the opportunity to appoint another one, and if not by him, then by Hillary Clinton if she becomes president.
Right.
We'll be in the minority as conservatives because we will be outflanked by not judges that adhere to the standard morality of this country or the Constitution, but to judges who are activists and will do anything to promote their agenda.
And the corruption is not only in the Supreme Court, where Obama had appointed two of the justices who were instrumental in making that decision. They had already performed same-sex marriages, should have recused themselves, but refused to.
And here's a man that said early on in his after his election that he believed marriage was between one man and one woman. But I think somebody got to him and said, look, here's a block vote right here. Here's something that we're leaving out of the equation, and you need to qualify that. And he did. He did a 180, but he qualified it.
Well, he's using the federal power and using the Justice Department to threaten states, even though it was only his presidential executive order, not a law, when North Carolina said, we want to define who can get married in our state. They said, and who can go to certain bathrooms in our state. Loretta Lynn.
Oh.
The head of the Justice Department.
Oh, yeah.
They went to North Carolina and threatened them with loss of federal funds to the 13 universities they have.
Yeah.
If they did that.
Yeah.
The corruption of the judicial system is all over the country. It's not just at the Supreme Court level.
That's right.
It's at the district justice.
And we're going to be electing judges all over Louisiana. Let me mention a deadline that you need to be aware of here before we get away. Of course, most people know that November the 8th is election day for all of our primaries, our state elections, as well as the presidential and congressional elections. You may not be aware that voter registration deadline by mail is October the 11th. In fact, voter registration period ends on October the 11th. And early voting in person begins October 25th.
Okay. I'm getting a signal that we're out of time, but do you have a final word for us?
Well, I would say that it's very critical that you remember to vote. It's critical that you vote your conscience. If you do, we know which way you'll vote. And we believe in the American system. And we hope that you do show up to vote and that you consider some of the things that we've talked about this morning.
Amen. Thank you so much for that. That was Dan Denson. And folks, God willing, we'll be back Monday with another edition of Church and State.
Thank you for listening to Church and State on KELB 100.5 FM. It's our pleasure to present special guests to keep the Christian community up to date on what's happening in our local churches and on what's happening in our government. We urge every Christian listener to attend, to be active in, and to support a local church. We all need a church family. We also encourage you to be well-informed and an active citizen, communicating with your elected officials on a regular basis, not just at election time.